Center for Distributed Learning at the University of Central Florida. I'm Kelvin Thompson.
And I am Tom Cavanaugh.
And you are listening to TopCast, the Teaching Online Podcast. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Kelvin. How's it going today?
Well, you really want to know?
Yeah. So for the listening audience, we are recording in the bunker again as a weather event is unfolding around us.
Yeah. Hurricane Irma. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
So this is pre-Hurricane Irma. We're hoping Hurricane Irma does not actually strike Florida, but as we are recording this, they're forecasting it to come kind of straight up the east coast of Florida, and we hope that doesn't happen.
That's right. But the university is preparing to close down for a few days, and everybody, we have a saying here in Florida, everybody's hunkered down,
that's the phrase, hunkered down. Yeah, so classes are canceled tomorrow, and then the university is closed on Friday and Monday, and we'll see what happens
after that. I hope Orlando survives.
We've been through this before.
Oh, that's right. We have. We've survived.
We have. So.
But fisticuffs are breaking out. There's lines for gas. People are a little panic-stricken more than normal, I think. Probably the Houston aftermath has got people on edge a little bit. But
Yeah, and let's hope it's nothing like that. Yeah,
hopefully not.
But an interesting online learning connection.
Yes.
So I've been having the conversations around campus and with various officials about, well, what does this mean for our online students and online faculty? Because we've got some that are not even here in the state. And, our policy, I guess policies will vary according to each institutional context. But here, if the university is closed, then the online courses are closed as well.
That's been our practice.
Is closed.
But some people usually ask, well, do you really have to? Couldn't you just keep going?
You could. And in some cases, students and faculty do when they're able to. But look, faculty and students are people too, right? And
really?
Yeah.
Really?
A lot of them have to go home and put boards on their windows and, buy water and everything else that they have to do. So it's as much about safety preparedness for our staff and students as it is the technical ability to keep going. Because, look, our LMS is cloud hosted. It's nowhere near Florida.
That's right.
That sucker's going to keep running.
That's right.
But it's the human resources that we need to worry about.
That's right. As we always should.
Yeah.
Care about the humans. So speaking of coffee.
Yeah. Of course.
And I always am speaking of coffee. This is a good coffee for today's episode, Tom. This is what we might call Plan B coffee. Because maybe for our regular TopCast listeners, it's worth saying that we are recording this episode concurrently in front of an e-learning academy audience for the faculties of Spokane Community College and Spokane Falls Community College.
Nowhere near Orlando.
Nowhere near Orlando. They're wondering, hurricane? What is that hurricane? So we were supposed to be doing this completely live, and we are actually pre-recording it. So our friend Ben Whitmore from up in Spokane actually sent us some lovingly craft roasted coffee from Vessel Coffee Roasters. I've tasted it. It's a nice Guatemala San Isidro, I think. Isidro. And that's not what we're drinking. Because we're always about the integrity of the coffee here at TopCast. And this is whatever we had in the drawer for the office Keurig. And it isn't the Vessel coffee.
Yeah, we could pretend it's the Vessel coffee, but we are transparent. Mm-hmm. And as you said, we have integrity here.
That's right. I'm drinking
a scrounged up Green Mountain Coffee Keurig that I was able to get into my cup here. Florida Distance Learning Consortium
mug. That's good. I got my, I flew the Stearman, cup here. That was nice. That's more interesting than the coffee. I have no idea what this is. It was just in the drawer, and that's kind of how it is. So we will feature Ben's coffee in another episode probably because it's worth, I have to share
well,
it with
let
you.
Me try to make a connection, a thematic
Please
connection with
do.
The coffee. Because we were on the go today in an unexpected, we better record this kind of mode before the university is shut down.
Oh, that's good, Tom. Keep going.
And we had to be highly mobile.
Yes.
And find resources in the environment.
Mm.
So we found coffee to match that.
I think I see where you're going with this.
It's a stretch, but it's there.
I got you. So you're making a connection to the topic of today's episode, which is mobile learning.
Yeah.
Got it.
And you were coming from another location.
I was.
And you were mobile.
I'm still sweating. That's it. It's exactly right. Well, yeah, that's a good thing. So mobile learning. So we put a lot of emphasis on mobile in general here at UCF, as I'm sure a lot of institutions do. I'm just, since I'm the one sweating, I'm going to kind of share the wealth. How would you define mobile learning?
Mobile learning. Well, generally, I would define it as involving some sort of a mobile device, mm-hmm. whether that's like a smartphone or a tablet. Some people have extended that to include like a laptop. Mm-hmm. I personally think that's a bit of a stretch, but I've heard that definition before. Mm-hmm. Something that involves a device, some sort of wireless technology or, you know, kind of broadband or something.
Yeah, I think that works for me. Now, just a pull on that thread a little bit, right? So as you framed it, you could make use of such devices, whether you were teaching or learning in an online class, in a blended class, in a face-to-face class, in any of those kind of modalities, right?
Sure. Yeah. I don't think mobile learning is necessarily restricted to any particular modality.
Yep.
It's particularly well suited for online, but it's not limited to that.
Yeah. And I think that's worth calling out, right? Because I think some folks do think of mobile learning, and some folks still kind of use kind of this label, kind of like it's a modality, M-learning.
M-learning. I've heard of that.
Yep. Right. And so I tend to agree with you. I don't know that I consider mobile learning a true modality in the same way that we talk about online and face-to-face and blended. But it is a thing to think about and address, though. There are things that can get in the way of its success. There are things that its success enables and so forth. So, I don't know. What are some of the things that we've done here at UCF which might be instructive for our listeners to foster, to take obstacles out of the way?
Well, you know, maybe we can frame that answer in two ways.
Please.
So, one is looking at some statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second would be, you know, what do we do as a result of those statistics? Like, what are some practices? So the first answer would be we do a periodic survey of our students and faculty to determine their mobile usage. I mean, what is the penetration? What is the overall ubiquity of these kinds of devices and this type of interaction?
Right.
Is it a big deal or not?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have conveniently
very nice
some statistics
it's
in front of me.
Almost like you'd prepared.
Almost. That's why I'm wearing my glasses. So I'm going to read just a few statistics from this report, which is available on our website, and perhaps we can stick it in the
Absolutely.
Show notes
It'll
for
be there.
Folks to look at.
Yep.
And this is done every so often. Mm-hmm. So 99% of our students own a smartphone.
99%?
99, according to this survey, at least of our respondents. Mm-hmm. 63% own a tablet, 35% own an e-book reader, and 28% own some sort of wearable technology.
Mm-hmm.
So like a Fitbit or Apple iWatch or something. 3% own multiple smartphones, and 7% own multiple tablets. 3% own multiple e-book readers.
Mm-hmm.
So of the wearable ownership, about 12% is a Fitbit, 4% is the Apple Watch, and 7% is other. Those are sort of the largest percentage blocks in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of that's interesting, and it confirms some stuff that we've heard previously, which is that our average student shows up with three devices on campus.
Right.
So they have like a tablet, a smartphone, and a laptop or something like that.
Yeah.
And then if you add in a Fitbit or an iWatch to it, they're like four devices. And when we look at connections to the network, you can see that it's like a hockey stick slope of mobile usage is starting to become the predominant first choice for accessing information at UCF.
Yeah. And that's a good call out just to say before getting into the implications of those statistics, just to say that we should all, as online and blended faculty or folks who care about technology-mediated teaching and learning, we should pay attention to what reality is vis-a-vis these devices and usage on the part of our students, right? So you just mentioned two good things. You can actually survey students, but through things like Google Analytics, other analytics packages, you can actually take a look at real behavior and see how are folks accessing the learning management system, your website, any other, the network as a whole, all that stuff.
That's true. Those are good data sources. There are analyses of access to the network. And then internally, we've set up a Google Analytics site just to look at accessing the accesses to the learning management system. And I look at that a lot, especially at the start of semester like we just had. And it's amazing to see what kind of diversity of devices people are accessing the network with. Every once in a while, you see an Xbox
or
PlayStation or something on there. And it's like, who's on the PlayStation in Venezuela? Okay. You know, but you got to be ready, I guess, for any possible contingency.
Which is probably a good transition point to the implications for the statistics, right?
Sure. Yeah. So one of the things that we've tried to do is recognize this growing behavior by students of going to kind of a mobile-first access orientation and ensure that faculty understand what that means when it comes to the design of their courses. So Ryan Seelhammer, who runs our mobile strategy
here. He is like the mobile guru, man.
He is. He's great. He created the Canvas Mobile Users Group and has chaired that for a while. And if you want to know anything about mobile, talk to Ryan.
That's right.
But in any case, you know, one of the things that he tries to do through our faculty development program is share with faculty best practices. So, for example, if you put this type of a table in your LMS page, it looks great on the desktop or on the monitor, but when that gets reformatted into a mobile view, that table's going to break and everything's going to wrap weird and you probably shouldn't do it that way. You should do something that is more responsive friendly. And he gives a bunch of examples that are eye-opening when you don't think about it.
You're right. Yeah, I think that's excellent. So I guess to unpack that a little bit though, right? That's not, that doesn't mean necessarily try to design everything to be perfect for the guy on the Xbox in Venezuela,
That person is a couple of standard deviations off the mean.
That's right.
But somebody on an iPhone is not.
That's right. That's right. So the greatest good for the greatest number, and try to be mindful in general. And hopefully if there are standards, as those develop and we implement them, things like responsive design you called out, if there are best practices and standards, as those are implemented, it should be good for everybody. The edge case of the Xbox.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fun to talk about, but I don't want to make that's not the tail wagging the dog.
No,
here.
Can't be. No.
Well, I have some other stats that I think kind of speak to that, and I think it's interesting. When you look at student use of mobile apps, where do they spend their time? 77% is on music, 76% is social networking, and 69% is social media. I'm not exactly sure the distinction between those. I'd have to ask Ryan. 67% is entertainment, 57% is navigation, I assume like maps and things. But next is UCF apps, which is 54% of students. It's something like one, two, three, four, five, number six on this long list of UCF apps, which includes our LMS, our UCF app in general. It includes some navigation, athletics, our portal, all of that stuff is part of that. Clearly, students are accessing that information on mobile devices. And if we don't recognize that and design for that presentation, we're kind of disenfranchising a really large number of students.
Yes.
I've also heard, I wish I had the statistics for this. It's probably out there somewhere. But that mobile devices are a way to potentially bridge the digital divide.
Right.
Because you don't necessarily need fiber, you know, wired to every house in a rural district or in an inner city or something like that where those problems tend to occur. But it's a cell tower and a student with a a device that they may already have.
Yes.
Can you leverage that to that's deliver right. education and make it more accessible for people who have a harder right. time to reach it?
That's exactly right. So that has all kinds of implications for course design, for media design, message design, and learning activities, right? I think that there is a little bit of push and pull on that ladder, not to go down too much of a rabbit trail, Tom, but the idea that while we want to be sensitive to this sort of this big install base and not disenfranchise anyone, I do think that we do hear from students sometimes that the implications of the mobile thing is like, well, I could be anywhere at any time accessing my online course or, right. you know, or what have you. And the reality is a lot of students are like, yeah, I'm going to wait until I have this particular time and place. I'm going to log into the learning management system and I'm going to do my stuff there all in one sitting and I'm going to walk away again, mm-hmm. whether that's on a desktop or laptop computer, whether that's on the mobile device. So the access via this device is one thing, but the anytime, anywhere, all the time, on the go, checking yeah. things constantly, that might not be
I think
reality.
It's idiosyncratic. It depends on the student. Some students right. want that and some don't. And
yeah.
just like some students say, yes, I want my assignments pushed into my Facebook feed.
Right.
And others are like, no, that's my personal thing. I'll go in the LMS when I want my assignments told
yeah.
to me. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But so everybody's got a different sort of perspective there, which is why it's nice to give them some control over that. So like within the LMS, they can choose notification preferences and certain things can get pushed into certain channels mm-hmm. and not into others.
Yeah, no, that's good. You got more stats there?
So for example, 35% of students indicated that they would like instructors to use mobile apps or devices in coursework.
Hmm.
So I think that opens up an interesting opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are so easy to use, right?
Right.
And they're loaded with apps that integrate cameras
yep.
and the ability to record sound
yep.
and all kinds of stuff that you could easily send somebody out into the field, if you will.
Yep.
Like, you know, take a picture of something and post it in the discussion forum or
yep.
whatever it is, some ethnographic study.
Yes,
or,
yeah.
You know, the opportunities are almost limitless to bring the outside world into the
yeah.
online environment
right.
through this device, where in the past you might have to go check out a video camera
mm-hmm.
and know how to do video editing
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of other things. Now it's just point and click with, you know, whatever, iMovie or something.
That's right, which is a very interesting and good distinction to make. That's not about like quote unquote accessing your online course. That's about using a tool regardless of course modality.
Right. It could be any modality.
That's right. You know, a shout out here to our colleague, our friend, Professor Rick Brunson here at UCF, who teaches journalism. And Rick has shared numerous times in our faculty development program his personal modeling of
yeah.
using the mobile device in, he goes to
he teaches digital journalism.
That's right. And he shows up in like a newsroom in one of the organizations here in Orlando and he's like doing the little video camera thing. Well, here I am. You can see, you know, local TV anchor Tom Cavanaugh behind me and we're getting ready to talk about, you know, and he does like this little thing and
yeah.
he's modeling it before he asks students to do
stuff.
Well,
he talks about this one anecdote. I probably won't get it exactly right, you know, so Rick, I'm sorry. But where he was at the beach one day
right.
and he happened to have his, you know, smartphone with him.
Oh, yes, he does.
And
right.
he looked over and Dwight Howard, the basketball
yeah,
player
right.
who was playing for the Magic at the time, happened to be standing in the surf with some people getting baptized.
Yeah.
And so he recorded it on his
right.
his cell phone, took a few pictures and literally had it on the Orlando Sentinel in a matter of a few minutes and it got shared worldwide
yeah,
on ESPN right. and all these other places.
Yeah.
And he suddenly had this light bulb that
yeah.
said, okay, this is the future of
that's
journalism.
Right. It's right here.
Because everybody's a reporter
mm-hmm.
now. So how can we teach our students to leverage this tool to become the journalists of the future?
And I just love that, right? I love that story. I've heard him share that as well. But that idea that you're framing here of this smartphone device is not, earlier we were talking about access to kind of technology-mediated learning environments. What we're talking about now is the smartphone as a tool,
mm-hmm.
as an inquiry tool, as a knowledge creation and curation tool, field research and journalism and all that, which
yeah.
is data collection, all that. It was fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that there are a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
So not just for consuming.
Yes.
Like, you know, going in and checking your assignments.
Yes.
Or downloading something, but also producing.
Yeah.
Content.
That's
and
right.
And making that part of your educational experience. Mm-hmm. by what you, you know, develop and learn and share.
That's right. So just a comment on this, the learning management system that we use here at UCF is Canvas. You've mentioned the Canvas community. It's pretty mobile friendly. Mm-hmm. Natively. I know because I've been sometimes, you know, right before some assignment has just been released, and like, oh my gosh, I got to fix it, you know.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes a little unfriendly to, you know, got to spread and zoom in and okay, I'll keep tapping. I got to get that button.
There are new apps now.
That's right. There are. But I'm just saying, you can make it work. Yeah. Within the browser, mobile, which is great. But yes, there are also apps which. Yeah. Even open up additional kinds of functionality.
And that's a whole separate philosophical conversation about should something be in an app or should.
Yeah.
It be a responsive web design? And I'm not expert enough to kind of have an opinion, but I think that there are relative advantages and disadvantages to each approach.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And then if I can put you on the spot for a second, because we've had this conversation a number of times, you mentioned the UCF app and apps. You have been rather supportive of Ryan, in particular, his leadership in mobile broadly at UCF, because I believe you've told me that because you see the potential for mobile in effective teaching and learning. So you're willing to take on kind of mobile for the entire institution to an extent in order to get to that bullseye of the teaching and learning mobile.
Yeah, and I think that's true. And we certainly don't do it in a vacuum. We.
Right.
Partner with UCF.
Right.
IT and.
Yes.
Others. But yeah, I do think that, you know, we are a teaching and learning and research university, and we should leverage all the tools at our disposal, and this is one of them. And if we can drive that and it benefits other areas of the.
Yeah.
University, like athletics and health services and the pharmacy and the student union and everybody else who want to have pieces of the app, great. But I think the primary thing is still the teaching, learning, and research mission of the university.
Yeah, that's good. Well,
yeah, we could talk about this.
We could.
There's so much more about mobile learning. Maybe we'll have to do another one.
We might. And besides, this merely adequate coffee is dwindling in my cup here. So maybe we need to kind of wrap this up. Can I take a stab at wrapping this up? See if you feel free to disagree, Tom.
Okay.
It wouldn't be the first time. So at the risk of being quippy, I'm occasionally quippy. So mobile learning in some ways really is not a thing, right? There's just learning, and mobile is just it's reality. There's ubiquity, right? So it's just our current reality.
One more flower in the garden.
One more flower in the garden. But in another sense, mobile learning is a thing because we have to pay attention to it. We have to plan for it. We have to design for it. You know, like whether it's you've got the little iPhone emulator up on your computer and you say, well, how will this work. Mm-hmm. On an iPhone, you know, and so forth. So those two things are a bit in tension. But we have to be thinking of mobile in online teaching and learning, and maybe even face-to-face and everything. We just have to be thinking of it if we're going to stay relevant to today's students. Would.
Yeah,
you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Ignoring it is ignoring the preferences of your students.
Yeah.
As evidenced by their actual behavior.
that's right.
Don't believe what they say. Believe what they do, right?
Yes. There's a lot of wisdom. We could spend an entire episode just on that topic.
Yeah.
That's right. That's student behavior.
All right. So we ready to go hunker down as Irma approaches?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess we don't have any choice. So as always, check out our show notes. We'll try to load them up with a lot of mobile-friendly goodness. You can find those at topcast.online.ucf.edu. So until next time, I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Tom.
See ya.